About time.
Take your bulletins and get this piece of paper out. I'm not sure if we're on Facebook this morning or not. We have a bad internet connection. So if it's working, okay. If it's not, okay. Life management. It's about time. It's about time. John was driving down the street in a sweat. Many of you have been there because he had an important meeting and he couldn't find a parking place. Looking up toward heaven, he said, Lord, take pity on me. If you will just find me a parking place, I will go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life and I'll give up beer. Just then, miraculously, a parking place opened up. John looked up again and said, never mind, Lord, I got it. I found one on my own. Isn't that the way we do sometimes? We make a lot of promises to God about what we'll do if He'll just give us a chance. I want you to imagine with me this morning that there's a bank. And in that bank, every one of us has an account. And it has an account that starts out with $86,400 every day. $86,400. Put that slide up, Cody. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every morning deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do if that was actual dollars? What would you do with that money if it was in your bank account this morning? But if you don't spend it, it's gone tonight when you go to bed. Each of us has such a bank account. Its name is time. There are 86,400 seconds in the day. Now guess what? As I look at this congregation and the people in this room, not one of us has 1 second more than the other. Not one of us has 1 second less than anyone else in this room. And if we don't invest that time to good purpose and we go to bed tonight, it carries over no balance. None whatsoever. Did you know there's no rollover minutes with God? You might get them with some of your cellular plans, but there's no rollover minutes with God. It allows for no overdraft. Each day, a new account is open for us. Each night, it burns the remains of the day. So if you fail to use today's deposits, the loss is yours. And folks, there is no going back. You can't recapture yesterday. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You got to live in the present on today's deposits. Folks, we need to invest it so we can get the utmost in health, happiness, and success. The clock is running. Make the most of the day. I heard a story about a man that worked at a factory. Part of this man's job was to blow the 5 o'clock whistle every day to let everybody know it was time to go home. So what he did is on his way to work, he walked to work and he passed by a jewelry store and they had a grandfather clock. He said the most beautiful clock you've ever seen in the front of that store. So what he would do was very simply stop, pull out his watch, and set it based on that grandfather clock. That way he would know that when 5 o'clock came, he would blow the whistle. One day, the shop owner was sweeping up the sidewalk. The man stopped and he says, hey, how do you keep that clock telling such perfect time? He said, oh, that's simple. At 5 o'clock every day when the factory whistle blows, I go out and set the clock. You know, that could lead to a problem, couldn't it? But folks, I got to tell you something. We live by the clock. We live by the clock. Benjamin Franklin said, "Do not squander time, for it's the stuff life is made out of." Many frustrated people fight the clock. Habitually, it's a way of life to always be in a hurry. They stay up late, they sleep late, and then they rush frantically to get where they're going. Now, here's what they do, and you're going to relate to this. That's why I want you to keep your notes out now. They gulp down a breakfast while they're driving to work. I see them all the time. They got that cell phone like this. They got a cigarette like this. And they're putting their makeup on like this. How in the world that car is moving down the road is beyond me unless they're good at driving with their knees. But how many of you see that? We are constantly in a state of hurry and all. And as I study Jesus' life. I love to study his life. It's fascinating. But one thing that you'll never see that Jesus did was get in a hurry. He never got in a hurry whatsoever. I'm not looking up or playing Facebook. My hearing aids just went up, and I was turning them down with my cell phone. I don't need to hear y'all. Y'all need to hear me. Okay, Jesus never got in a hurry. Notice that about the Scripture. Never did he run. He was always right there, but he never, ever got in a hurry. The Bible gives us some great insights on how time can become your friend rather than your enemy. And we're going to read that. Brother Michael read out of Psalm 90. We're going to pull some verses out of Psalm 90 in just a moment. One thing I want you to remember about Jesus, he did not have a day timer. He did not have a calendar, a PDA, to keep him on time. He is the creator of time, and he's greater than our time. So the first step in making time is to totally immerse yourself and your life in God. And in Psalms 90, verse 1 through 4, here's some scripture we're going to read. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, 'Return, O children of mine, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past and like a watch in the night.'" And then in verse 10 of the same chapter, we see the days of our lives are 70 years. Hey, many of us have hit that magic number in here, haven't we? I look at every day now as, man, that's an extension God has given me because I've hit the 70, and many of you have hit the 70. "And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, and some of you have hit the 80 and beyond, and it's such a blessing from God." It's what we just need to give God a hand for that right now. Let's do that, okay? Because he does give us life like that too. That's why the Bible is alive, folks. Okay, "yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off and we fly away." Thank God for that. We're going to fly away to heaven, and that's going to be wonderful when that's up. So verse 12 says, "teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, I want you to, we're going to do use four letters in that word time. The first letter is T. And here's what we're going to talk about it. Put a look on your bulletin there. Fill it in there. Treasure. Time is a treasure. God says we should treasure time as a valuable commodity. You number your years, or at least some of us do, but God says every day is precious. Every day is precious. To realize the value of a year, ask somebody that has failed a grade in school and now they're a grade behind. That year's pretty important, isn't it? You want to know how important a month is? Ask that mother that gave birth to a premature baby. And that's how you'll see how important that is. How valuable is an hour? Ask a businessman who was flying to get to an appointment, a business meeting, and the plane was delayed an hour, and he missed the deal of his lifetime. Ask the man who had a heart attack in a restaurant, and in the next booth sat a EMT that did CPR on him. How important was that minute to that man's life? And then ask the Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 0.6 of a second. How important is time? Folks, we need to treasure every moment that you have. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. And that's why it's called the present, because it's a gift for us today. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. Have you ever heard the expression, time is money? I've used it many times. But you know that's wrong. It's not true. Time is much more valuable than money. It may be hard to make more money, but guess what? It can be done. But I defy any one of you to make me more time. You can't do it. But yet, time is money is what we've always heard, haven't we? But it's impossible, impossible to make more time. Understand that you should treasure your time as the most valuable asset you are given in this world. And the next letter in time is I, and it means invest. We use a lot of phrases with time that's really impossible. You can't buy more time. You can't really find more time. We can't make more time, although we speak of making time for something. It's impossible to do. You can't save time. You can only invest it. Time is much more valuable than money is. But it's like money in the fact that we can spend it and invest it. It's unlike money in the fact that you can't save it. You can't save it at all. If you don't use it, you lose it. And you lose it forever. We can't save time, folks. But we can save money, can't we? We got all kinds of time-saving appliances, microwaves. Whip up a dinner in 5 minutes or less. And being a guy, like most of you guys out there, we love to take shortcuts to save time. All my shortcuts end up costing me more time. But here's what I want to ask you. You've said this before. You have saved time. Reach in your pocket, your billfold, or wherever, and pull out that time and show it to me. Show me the time you saved. You can't do it. But you can show me a bank account where you saved some money in a bank account. You can go back in your backyard, if you do this, and dig up the jar that you put your savings in. You can show me that. But you can't ever show me where you saved time. It's gone. It's gone. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but that's the way it is. Billy Graham went back to his alma mater, Wheaton College, and he said this at a commencement address. Time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are the stocks in which we are to invest our time. Whether they're blue chip, penny stocks, or even junk bonds, that's what God has given us to invest our time in. And where you invest your time reveals what's important to you. Very important, this. 168 golden hours in each week. 168. That's for everybody in here. Nobody's got an advantage on that. The average person will spend 56 of those hours sleeping, 24 of those hours in eating and personal hygiene, and 50 of those hours working or traveling to to work if you still work. That means that leaves you about 35 hours a week of discretionary time left over. That's 5 hours a day. Where are you investing those hours? Now, some of you have invested those hours today in coming to Liberty Baptist Church. But if I were to follow you around and observe you for those 5 hours after about 10 days, I could tell you what's the most important thing in your life. Think about it. All I got to do is follow you around for about a week or so, and I can tell you exactly what's most important in your life. I can tell you whether Facebook is more important than God's Word. I can tell you if just surfing the internet's more important. Oh, and by the way, I can tell you whether the soap operas on TV are most important. I can tell you whether the magazines that you read are more important in your life. You got 5 hours a day. That's discretionary time. How much of that discretionary time are you devoting to your Lord? How much? Have you ever heard the excuse some dad or mom will say, I don't spend much time with my family, but the little time I do spend is quality time. I've said it. Some of you, probably everybody here, has said that. Quality time. Now, let me tell you something about quality time. 1 second ago and now, was 1 second ago better quality than this second? And will the next second be better quality than the present second? That's sort of a misnomer, isn't it, that quality time. Something that we really don't do it. And I'll tell you, I got a good example of how quality time works. If I was to come out there right now, and I'm going to do this. Don't try to follow me there, Bub. I'm going to do this. I got a $100 bill here, and it is just messed up something terrible. I got a brand new $5 bill. It's pretty, isn't it? The quality of this is horrible. The quality of this is excellent. I mean, which one would you rather have, Pauline? I figured you'd do that. Here, take it. No, take it, Barbie. Okay. Now, you know, would it not be stupid? Would it not be totally stupid to pick the $5 bill just because it's prettier? But you know that's what we do with our time. We do that. All time is important and very valuable. It's like talking about quality money. There's no quality money. It's all the same. As long as it says on it, in God we trust. Thank God for that. The next letter in time is manage. M for manage. Now I want y'all to pay attention to me now. And I'm going to try to do this without making a mess here. A time management expert was teaching a seminar to some executives. If you're in the business world, time management is going to be extremely important. And so he used an illustration. He took a glass jar. This is my chicken stew jar. And he put rocks in it, big rocks. Can y'all see that's full of big rocks? That's real rock. Boy, that thing's heavy too. Heavier than chicken stew. And he asked his audience out there, is the jar full? And they all, without fail, said yes, because he had it packed with big rocks. So then, to show them that it was not quite full, he took some pebbles. My goodness, look at there. Wow. Now it's a jar full? Huh? You think so? Some of you do, some of you don't. Well, some of them are scared to answer, just like y'all are. You thought I was going to trick you. So then he took sand. Incidentally, Beck, this is your sand that you brought me back from Florida a couple of years ago. And he put that and started filling it up with sand. Look at there. Can you believe this? I told y'all, forgive me now if I make a mess. But is that thing full now? Have I got this jar full? Okay, you say no because you read my notes. It's not full, folks. So then he came back with water. And he started pouring water in. I wish you'd look at that. I didn't rehearse this. That's why I said, forgive me if I make a mess. But look at that water going in there. Wow. Now is the jar full? Yes, it's full. So, what he's trying to teach these folks about time, and he said, what do you think the lesson is? And they said, well, the lesson is you've always got time for something else. He says, no, that's totally wrong. The lesson is this. Unless you put the big rocks in first, you've got to put them in first. They will never fit in. If I hadn't have put the big rocks in there first, the sand, the little rocks, and the water would have never fit in. Life is priorities. You manage your time with the big rocks. What's important first. Then let the little stuff come in there. But that's the most important thing. What are the big rocks in your life? Is it giving time to God? Is it giving time to your marriage and to your children? If you don't put the big rocks in first, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. Someone else is going to fill up your jar. Understand? It's up to us to put the big rocks in there first. Then we've got our priorities. Every moment is a gift from God that must be managed wisely. There's an entire field of study called time management. When I used to be in direct sales, I taught time management and I utilized it all the time. But it's a misleading concept, folks. You can't manage time. You can't delay it. You can't speed it up. You can't save it, and you can't lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps going. My watch, bless its heart, has just told me that it's 11:23 a.m. It's time for me to wind down. That's how important time is. Because I don't want you sitting here too long. And so I try to manage myself, not the time, because the time's going to go on whether I manage it or not. So what we need to remember is the challenge is not to manage time, but to manage ourselves. That's the challenge right there. The Bible uses another word. Instead of managing your time, it talks about redeeming your time. And let's look at that for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Therefore, he says, awake, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly means to constantly looking around to make the most of every opportunity that God sends our way. Emmitt Smith, one of the greatest running backs in football history, was so good, not because he was a big fella, not because he was a little fella, but because he knew how to look for the holes. And he managed his running by looking at the holes. Folks, we need to manage our day by looking at the opportunities God gives us. And put the big rocks in there first, and then all this other stuff can go. We can claim it, but we can't reclaim it. It's gone forever. How many of you have ever said, "Oh, I wish I could do that over"? Oh, every one of us has. "Oh, I would have done this different." We can't. That's why we got to be conscious of what we do. If we don't manage our time, listen to me, somebody else is going to manage it for you. You can't save time. You can't waste time. You're going to spend it somewhere and invest it in someone. And if you don't control your schedule, someone else is going to be happy to do it for you all the time. Some people complain they just don't have enough time to spend with their family. Hogwash. You got exactly the same amount of time as everyone else, 86,430 seconds a day. Not one of us has more time than the other. And the final letter in time is this, enjoy. E for enjoy. The time you spend with your family should be enjoyable. Now, I know when they come teenagers, it's not always enjoyable. I didn't hear a teenager laugh. But we know that's true. Okay. All right. It should be the best time of our life. And here's a couple of ways to enjoy your family time. Say no to family time robbers. Say no. There's always going to be something else to do. There's always going to be somewhere else you can be. But if you're going to make spending time with your family a priority, you're going to make it a big rock, you better put it in there first. And learn the power of that two-letter word, no. That's been a hard word for me to learn as a pastor, the word no. Nobody on their deathbed has ever said, and I've been with people on their deathbed, I've never heard one say, "I wish I had spent more time at work." But I've heard them say, "I wish I spent more time with my family. I wish I spent more time with my children." Several years ago, Ken Griffey Jr. was invited to the Players' Choice Award, where he was going to be awarded the Player of the Decade. That's big. National television and everything. He beat out Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, all the other greats. But when he found out what time the award was to be given, he declined to go. Now, folks, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know why he didn't go? His 5-year-old son, Trey, was playing in his first baseball game, and Ken wasn't going to miss it. My, isn't that something? His big rock was his son. That's where his big rock was. He learned to say no to some of the things that you take away from your family. Here's another reason to enjoy your family time. Say yes to happy memories. James 4:14. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I want you to do something a little out of the unusual. I want you to turn to the person next to you. And I want you to say something. I want you to say, "You don't have long to live." Do it. You don't have long to live. I mean, you know, you don't ever walk up to somebody and say, "You don't have long to live." Folks, you don't. We've already read the scripture. So let's make some happy memories of time. Let's make time to treasure, time to invest, and time to manage, and time to enjoy. Closing with a practical recommendation to add some margin to your life. We need some margin in our life. A lot of people are on overload. I'm one of them. I'm better now than I was, thanks to some of you folks here in this church. I'm better now than I was. But headed for a crash. Some of us are on overload here. We're headed for a crash. We spent 8 months of our lives opening junk mail. Think about that. When I was preparing this sermon and I was gathering these statistics and all, guess what I was doing while I was doing it? Opening junk mail. And I thought, you know, that's true. 8 years of my life opening junk mail when I ought to just put it in the garbage. 2 years playing phone tag where people will never return your phone call. 5 years waiting for people who are trying to do too much and are late for meetings. We got a lot of technology, but I'm telling you folks, it's not saving us any time. It's not doing it. And we're piled on, stretched to the limit society, and we're chronically rushed, we're chronically late, and we're chronically exhausted, and many of us feel like Job did when he said in Job 3:26, I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes, and it's coming, folks. Overload comes when we have too much activity in our lives. Whoa. Y'all know I'm preaching this to me, don't you? Preachers get the first bit of it, okay? Simply put, we're stressed by the pace of our lives. See, I'm trying to slow down right now, but I'm having a hard time doing it. I want to take off down that aisle right now. The solution is we've got to put some margin in our life. We've got to have some breathing room. It's keeping a little reserve that you're not using up in your life. It's not going from one meeting to the next, one appointment to the next, one place to the next. Give ourselves some space. We need some space. It's between the margin. What I'm talking about is the space between your load and your limit. You need space. We need that. We rush to work. We rush to appointments. We do everything, but we need to get some space. Marginless is being 30 minutes late to a doctor's office because you were 20 minutes late getting out of the hairdresser. Because you were 10 minutes late dropping the children off at school, because something unexpected came up and ruins your perfectly timed out plan, and that's marginless. A good plan leaves some margin. It leaves room for error. My daddy taught us boys as we were growing up, if you're supposed to be somewhere at 3 o'clock and it's going to take you 30 minutes to get there, you leave 45 minutes early. You allow for a flat tire. And he actually did this. He made each one of us, when we became drivers, go out, and he stood there with a watch and timed how long it took us to change a flat tire. Because he said, sons, there is no excuse for being late. And what could happen is you could have a flat tire, so let's go. Get out there and let's change a tire right now. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, I'm not kidding. It teaches you a lot. Okay, but we don't have that margin. We need to have that margin. I don't want to come rushing into the church and come straight to the pulpit. I want some margin. I want some prayer. I want some time. Four benefits of putting margin in your life, and this is where we're going to close right here. Four benefits. Number one, peace. When you're not hurrying and worrying, you have time to think, time to relax, time to enjoy life. When's the last time you had peace? Think about it. The second thing, better health. And I can attest that, and if you don't believe me, I'll guarantee you I've got a doctor here in this church that'll tell you that I'm right about this. If we get the stress off of us, we're going to get better health. Somebody say amen. Okay. All right. Unrelenting stress harms our bodies. And when we're always in a rush, we are stressed. Wow. And our health plummets. Our body needs downtime in order to heal. Even race cars that go in 200 miles an hour stop, make a pit stop. Folks, we have got to learn to do the same thing and put that margin in. It'll also build us stronger relationships. Lack of margin is one big reason for the collapse of the American family today. Now, you pay attention to this. When we don't make relationships a priority and make time for each other, our family's going to the dogs. We've got to do that, folks. That's something we got to do. Relationship takes time, and margin provides the time to sit and talk, to listen and enjoy one another, and to provide the comfort we each need. When's the last time you sat down with your spouse and you just talked? Not about work, not about church. You just talked. You know how most of us do it is when the commercial's on. Usefulness in ministry is the final thing. When you're overloaded by activity, you can only think of yourself. Hello, what I've got to do. I've got to get this done. I've got to get that done. I've got to get this done. All we think about is ourselves. And you know why? We're in survival mode, trying to make it through another day. But being available to God for His use makes all the difference in the world. When you have no margin in your life and God taps you on the shoulder and says, I'd like you to do this for me, your first response is not joy that God picked you. Your first response is, oh no, another thing I got to do. Sorry, God. My big rocks are already in my jar, and you're not one of them. But when you have margin, you have time, and you're available for God to use. You don't have to live on overload. You don't have to be in survival mode. Start today. Build a buffer around your schedule. And enjoy the benefits of margin. And just see what God does next. I've been doing this now for the past few weeks. And I want to tell you something. I would never tell you anything wrong. But I've got to tell you, it's made a difference in my life. And that's thanks to some of you folks here in this building right now. Time is God's precious gift. Thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Now, may God use it to challenge you and to change our lives for all time. Bow your heads with me, if you will.